The real tragedy of all religious teaching is that man has been taught to worship a God in heaven. We are taught to pray to a God up there. Generation after generation has turned to the man upstairs for help that never came. Boys on the battlefield of Sodom in vain. Youngsters on crutches, fighting their way through strange muscular diseases, have wondered why he has not answered their call. Throughout the world, men and nations have reached up for divine power to release them from human agony, always unaware that the great liberator does not live in the sky. Here on earth, on the holy ground where you stand, is God, the spiritual identity of you and of mankind. Every individual who walks this earth has an opportunity to choose his own identity and his own universe. He can walk in spirit or in matter. He can walk as the Son of God or the creature. He can walk in life that never ends or sleepwalk in the dream of a mortal lifespan. He can walk in grace, letting infinity do the work, or he can limit his earthly experience to the finite processes of his own human power. The choice was always ours, but our human leaders have never given us this choice. They have read the scriptures without eyes that could see. They have really accepted the Bible episodes as evidence of special powers entrusted only to a few privileged personalities. They have overlooked the breathtaking message of the Gospels, that God dwells among us here on earth as our hidden spiritual identity. And this separation from identity is the separation from God. This separates us all from life without end, under divine grace. Once we repair the separation, the gospel is restored. Perhaps you're familiar with the Book of Jasher in the Apocrypha. There's an episode there where Moses is praying in the garden of the high priest, and he beholds a sapphire stick planted right there in the midst of the garden. He draws near, and he sees an inscription on the sapphire stick engraved there with the words, "I am that I am." All the wise men before Moses had tried unsuccessfully to lift the stick from the ground. Now Moses plucks it out. And in that instant, all the works of God are revealed to him. And the high priest, seeing that Moses has accomplished what all the wise men could not accomplish, gives him his daughter in marriage, symbolizing the mystical marriage, which is made possible by the realization of his spiritual identity. Remember Excalibur, the sword of King Arthur? This was a symbol of I am the inner illumination. And in Wagner's opera Die Walküre, the hero Siegmund learns the secret of inner strength when he too draws forth the miraculous sword which the god Wotan has thrust into a tree. And with this knowledge, with this illumination of his own spiritual identity, he is now empowered to bring freedom to himself and to others. The serpent of mortality and of all mortal problems is never defeated by physical combat. The outer problem is overcome, even death is overcome, by accepting the inner sword of spiritual identity. This illumination turns the evil serpent, the world of matter, into a miraculous rod which bestows power without limitation. The Father within, who does the great works, is that flaming sword of your own spiritual identity accepted in fullness. No man heals the multitudes. No man performs the miracles. No man tramples on serpents. I am spirit, and I am only spirit. This is the day-by-day consciousness, which is the core of our acceptance of the omnipresence of spirit. And with it, you have the rod of power. Without it, you remain the creature, separated, not one with God, not under the law of God, outside the kingdom of God, waiting for a false tomorrow that can never come. Soul, spirit, Christ. This is your full identity. Ever present, here and now. This is the threefold nature of being, which is the one being, which is called Son of God. Son of God and the Father within are one and the same. Your magic link with infinity is your soul. Live in it, and the divine qualities of the infinite invisible overflow abundantly into every crevice of your daily experience, showering you with a sufficiency of all things. Live in your human selfhood with divided loyalties between spirit and matter, and your karma is multiplied. Your problems continue. Your frustrations remain to taunt you. Fulfillment remains beyond reach. In the wilderness of the mechanical mind universe, the time stream, we are ever struggling to improve and to overcome the illusions of the world. And in the end, the illusions overcome us. Now, you know, it's no new discovery that concealed from mortal sight is your radiant soul. It is always unblemished, always untouched by material powers and human discords, always as perfect as God. Now, this soul must be your doorway if you would enter heaven on earth. It is your answer to every question. It is your eternal life. It is your sword of truth. It is your rod of power. It is your only self. This soul rolls away all the barriers, fulfills every Bible prophecy. It heals the sick. It raises the dead from mortality. It expresses the glorious truth that you and the Father are one now. This truth has been known on earth for more than 10,000 years. In Egypt, Chaldea, India, Europe, the early American continent, the spiritual identity of man has always been known by the Illuminati. And strangely enough, one of the symbols used to record and preserve that spiritual wisdom was the serpent, just as it was used in the story of Adam and Eve, and later in the life of Moses, and still later in the lives of the disciples of Jesus Christ. In the Mayan or Mayan civilization, the crawling serpent represented a misuse of the creative life power, what we know today as living in the lower life stream of the sense mind. But the Mayans were also aware of the higher life stream, the soul, and its invisible body of spiritual radiance, which never dies. For them, the serpent was more than a symbol of our fleshly incarnation. It also conveyed the dual nature of man. Concealed by flesh, they recognized the higher self, the Son of God, the divine soul of fire. And to preserve their knowledge of our divinity, concealed by bodies of flesh, They carved and sculpted and painted serpents with wings. Serpents that could fly, indicating the risen soul, which had been buried in matter, now free. They painted snakes with feathers, and these snakes transformed into graceful white swans, always again to convey that the first body of flesh must be abandoned, that man may walk in the invisible body of soul consciousness. Occasionally, their carvings showed snakes with seven coils, and these symbolized the seven cycles, or the 7 days of regeneration. Then they had serpents with mouths breathing fire, meaning that the inner fire of spirit must burn away the crust of centuries of incarnation in bodies of seeming flesh. Sometimes they had two serpents intertwined about a staff or a wand, united at the end as a symbol of our present esoteric understanding of the mystical marriage. And in one case, they even left behind a serpent's tail with the head of a peacock, indicating the secret transformation of consciousness available to everyone who walks this earth. But as usual, in all these cases and on all these civilizations, our historians, archaeologists, educators, theologians all reached the same conclusion, namely that these civilizations were inferior, superstitious, and pagan. Their deep knowledge and understanding of the soul released from animal incarnation, expressing the endless renewal of life, is what we moderns, in our limited version of truth, call Easter. When we celebrate the risen Jesus Christ, little have we known that Easter begins when spiritual identity is accepted and lived in. Here's a poem comes to mind, which legend tells us Rebecca, the mother of Esau and Jacob, heard when she went to God with a problem. The twins about to be born were struggling in her womb, and she was very terrified. So she asked God about it, and this answer came. In your limbs, like nations twain, rival races form their birth. One the mastery shall gain, the younger over the older shall reign. You see, always in these strange symbols, we are informed about the second birth, which overcomes the illusions of the first birth, from the material to the spiritual. That's what it's all about. The rebirth through which we are now learning to walk. And so we find Esau emerging first from Rebekah's womb, and he's closely followed by Jacob, who is grasping Esau's heel. And to complete the symbolism, according to an old Hebrew tradition, we learn that on Esau's heel there was the symbol of a serpent, meaning Jacob is going to overcome the serpent. You see, this contact between Jacob and Esau is the symbol of the conflict in each of us, the warfare of the spirit and the flesh. This is also what the literal translators of the Bible have thought of as the Battle of Armageddon in the future, something that is going to be fought in the year 2000. But every day, between your soul and the world mind, the Battle of Armageddon is being fought. And until you make your choice and establish identity, work faithfully to build your soul consciousness, that battle continues. But when you make the choice, then the light of infinity finally breaks through to lead you into the higher mansions. The exciting difference between soul vision and mental vision is again portrayed very dramatically in Exodus, right after the serpent is transformed into the rod of power. I'd like to look at that with you It's chapter 4, starting at verse 6. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, meaning Moses, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And the Lord said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood unto the dry land. You see, everything in this world can be seen two ways, even death, depending on whether you are in material consciousness or spiritual consciousness. One way veils the truth, and the other way unveils the kingdom of grace. If you look with the eyes of the serpent, you see the dream. If you look with the eyes of the transformed self, you see the rhythm of God made manifest as harmony, peace, and a life without end. Now please believe this. Every human way to attain spiritual consciousness has failed. There is no way for a material consciousness to find a spiritual consciousness. You must give up one to get the other. To experience God, you must live where God is. And God is only in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of spirit. If you want to catch a fish, you go to water. If you want to experience the power of God, you must go where God is. And you will not find God in space or time. You will not find God in matter. You will not find God in the human mind or in human thoughts. And you will not find God if you are a physical human being walking this earth on two physical feet. You must face this. You must read this, every word of it. Write it down. Listen to it. Study it. Until you can accept that you can only find God in the kingdom of God. Otherwise, you walk without God. You must take off your shoes. You must wash your feet. In other words, you must leave material consciousness to find God. That word, leave, I call to your attention. You must leave material consciousness. You must lay down your consciousness of matter in order to pick up your consciousness of spirit. Now let's say that outside your room there's a garden, and between you and the garden is a wall with a door in it. So here's you in a room, here's the wall, and on the other side of the wall is the garden. Now normally, all you would do is walk through the door into the garden. And you would say that you have walked into the garden. Now just stop for a moment and realize that you could not walk into that garden unless you walked out of the room. You see what I mean? Millions of us have failed to find the kingdom of heaven for just their lack of knowledge of this point. They want to walk in the kingdom of heaven, but they do not know how to walk out of material consciousness. They're trying to be in the room and in the garden at the same time. And the result is chaos. The real secret of entering spiritual consciousness is leaving the material consciousness. When the false is taken away, all that remains is the real. As the Bible says, one shall be taken away, and the other shall remain. Now you know no one can make you drink poison. Why should you let anyone make you think poison? Material consciousness is poison. Thinking about matter is poison. Ultimately, it must kill you. Every form of human destruction in our world is the same serpent, the only adversary there is. Not A-bombs, not diseases, not inflation, not poverty or famine, none of these things. They are all made of one false fabric, world thought, channeled through each individual who suffers from them. The antidote is to live the daily principles that neutralize world thought in you until you step out of this world poison that has infected the human race since the beginning of time. Now let's look at these principles. The first, the greatest principle you can know, is actually the first commandment given by Jesus Christ. Only now we're going to phrase it in another way, a way that I hope you will find easy to remember. And this principle is, God is your spiritual identity. That's the first principle. The second principle is, God is the spiritual identity of your neighbor. Whether your neighbor is a person, an animal, or a tree. You will discover that these two commandments can open the gates of heaven on earth. If you understand and faithfully practice them, you will be living, moving, having your being in God, honoring God supremely, loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You will be walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Within yourself, you must know and practice that God is your spiritual identity. God is the spiritual identity of everyone and everything. God is everywhere, as the spiritual identity of everything you see. You cannot look anywhere without the inner realization that behind what you see, whatever it is, the spiritual identity there is God. That is omnipresence accepted. Doesn't matter now if it's an A-bomb or a tidal wave, a flood, fire. It's not up to you to stop these disasters. It is up to you to accept the invisible spiritual identity behind the universe, behind every appearing thing, and then let infinity reveal itself, and you will discover that you have touched the magic button of truth. For 2 days, make it a point. Face everything, everyone in your world, 2 days, with these two truths uppermost in your consciousness. And you will notice an incredible change that comes about in your experience. Do not make any exceptions. No matter what faces you, stop. Even if only for a split second, realize behind that problem, that task, or whatever it is, challenge, there is a perfect spiritual identity right there, which is God. And that where you stand is a perfect spiritual identity, which is God. Nothing else. Then, refuse to let world thought poison your thought with the belief, the lie, that something else besides spiritual identity is present there and here. That's all. You know the truth. Rest, and it will make you free. If you develop this capacity for the next 2 days, meditating on it several times a day, consciously practicing it throughout the day, you will be transforming the serpent into a rod of power. Infinity will do the work for you. The magic of grace will replace the hit and miss method of human trial, human error, human false sense of power. Okay? Now let's go back into that high dome of consciousness, into the inner sanctuary. We're leaving material consciousness. We're starting out with our two simple principles. There is no me here, but God is here as my spiritual identity. And God is there as the spiritual identity of my office, my home, my family, my government. Everything that I see humanly makes no difference whatsoever. All that is present anywhere is invisible spiritual identity. The universal self of God is the reality behind every face and form, every object, every condition. Only spiritual identity is present everywhere. God is never going away. God is here, God is there. There's no other self present anywhere than the one invisible God self. I am accepting the allness of spirit, the allness of God. Now let's follow through all the way. My acceptance is incomplete if I still believe that matter exists. The allness of spirit means that matter has no existence. And so as I leave the belief that matter exists, I am really entering the kingdom of God on earth, where grace alone can function. I must leave the belief in matter to enter the kingdom of grace. So now there are no material qualities in my consciousness. And there is no matter in my consciousness. There is only spirit and spiritual qualities performing all around me. The serpent mind has no power to fool me. And to the allness of spirit, I add the allness of spiritual qualities. Slowly my awareness of truth is expanding. Only spiritual qualities can be here because only spirit is here. And qualities of spirit being perfect, only perfection is here. I don't care what I see. The allness of spiritual identity is another truth. Forms have no real identity. Forms of matter are mind patterns in time. I really do not see forms. I form them as images in my mind. I image them. Or another word for imaging them is I imagine them. I recreate world thoughts into patterns called forms. And I give them names and identities. But now, I am taking myself out of that mechanical form consciousness. I am accepting the allness of invisible spiritual forms, invisible spiritual identities, invisible souls. I can look at all forms and take the time and make the effort to know that this form, this identity, this condition is only a mental concept. Spirit here is the Father of all. Spirit here is my Father. And therefore, my spiritual form exists right here, though unseen. Spirit is the father of that person over there. And therefore, his spiritual form is there, unseen. That dog has an invisible spiritual form. That butterfly, that tree, that river. All material forms are mental concepts contained only within the mind that beholds them. They are never external. They are never out there. They are only in mind, your mind, his mind, everyone's mind. Out there are invisible souls, invisible soul forms. And all of them are the one life of God, the universal spirit. Now, I am surrendering my concepts of the mind. I accept the allness of a spiritual universe here, right now. I accept the allness of spiritual power here, right now. There are no material powers. There are no human powers, no mental powers. Only spiritual power can be here and function here and everywhere, because the allness of spirit is the truth. Where only spirit is, only spiritual power can be. I accept the allness of spiritual will. There is no human will, no animal will, no will of nature. Only spiritual will can function where earth seems to be, because only spirit is here. I accept spiritual perfection. Any imperfection on earth must be a mirage of the senses. Only spirit is here. Spirit is perfect. Therefore, only the perfection of spirit can be here. I am gradually lifting my spiritual consciousness. But not only in this meditation. These are just the principles that I shall practice consciously, always, until I have departed from material consciousness. Until I know that nothing but spirit is everywhere. The perfect power of spirit everywhere. The perfect mind of spirit. The perfect presence of spirit, the perfect action of spirit is everywhere. We're still in the cocoon of silence. Spirit is the universal father. My father. Your father. I, you, all. Children of the one universal spirit. I live consciously in that spirit, aware that matter is unreal, never outside mind, that all error in matter is as unreal as matter itself. Nor can I expect merely to memorize this. I practiced it, consciously know it. Face situations that arrive with this spiritual awareness. Above all, we cannot try to make the mistake of resisting material problems or trying to subdue them with personal effort or personal power. We are learning how to let consciousness of the allness of spirit replace the concepts of the human mind, so that the serpent does not fool us. I accept, right here, where the world sees me, where I have accepted a material sense of me, that there is another self. Right now, I am leaving this house, this room, this sense of mind, this sense of body, finding myself in a garden. No one can see me, unless, like Mary of Magdala, they too have developed a spiritual consciousness. Then they will see me in the garden, in my spiritual form, ascending out of all conditioned human beliefs. They will see the divine image, which is the universal self, on earth. have been a joy to share these moments in the rhythm of spirit, to feel our oneness in the ever-present, infinite, invisible. And so until we join spiritual hands again, please remember, every quality of the Father is included in your spiritual identity, and it will blossom like a seed when you water that quality with your conscious awareness of its presence where you stand. No words are necessary. Just know. Infinity will do the rest. During the next 20 or 30 days, please take this tape and when you listen to it, remember that it is a synthesis, a consolidation of many ideas. Ideas that have been practiced and proven. And then try to make every day a devotion to one more specific principle so that you can feel the gradual increase of spiritual awareness and the gradual diminishing of material consciousness. I'm really opening the way for you to live in the incubator of spiritual infancy. It is a very narrow way, a very beautiful way, and at times a very startling way, but it is the way. It is the way to the rod of power. It is the way to the full attainment of the Master's message, the Word made flesh. I have a feeling that we're really setting up for this visit. But the rest is up to you. No, you are not walking alone, ever. Much gratitude to you for your fidelity. Much love from a very faithful friend.